Hello, this is Herb Burns, and welcome to the podcast, Three Men for Thee in a Realm of Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. We hope to share with you current faith-based topics from authors, community leaders, pastors, and you, the listener, as well. Your hosts for these podcasts are Herb Burns, Jack Bells, and Alan Brown. You can email us with your questions at 3, that's the number 3, MFT at mail.com. Once more, that's 3, MFT at mail.com. We will be posting podcasts bi-weekly and look forward to your comments and questions and hope you will continue to listen to our interviews as we explore topics in the realms of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.
This is another message we are blessed to share with you from Nebo Crossing Church in Marion, North Carolina. Big metropolis of Marion.
Yes.
And we're at the Salt and Light Conference, and we have with us the host of this conference and also the pastor of Nebo Crossing Church, Pastor Bob Ritter. So, Bob, it's a blessing to have you with us today.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Amen.
Appreciate it.
Just have a few questions,
yeah,
and we'll share that with our listeners about your mission and vision.
Well, we're excited about hosting the conference. We're glad to do this. It fits with our vision and mission. We are interested in not just, obviously, the gospel of Jesus Christ is paramount. We God first. We believe in the Word of God. We preach it faithfully here. But God blessed us with the ability to purchase a large factory that actually made string for socks, of all things. And we bought this building about 5 years ago and have been upfitting it. And with the square footage footprint that it had, we thought, you know, we should turn this into something more for the city and not just a small church. So we were able to kind of set up what's effectively a convention center space, but church on Sundays, but we've used it for a lot of things. I was kind of challenged by that vision of the old white church house in the middle of town that every town had, and people did everything there and they worshiped God there. And then as we became affluent in America, we separated everything the community's doing from the church and put churches in little pinpoints on every block around the South, a steeple on every corner, right? If you throw a rock, you're going to break a stained glass window around here. So we segregated everything, and the world never the twain shall meet. You know, Christ and his church, the world in their problems, never cross paths, and we kind of throw rocks at each other. And I said, man, I don't want to do ministry like that. Let's change it, and let's get back to the little 116,000 square foot white church.
116,000, yeah.
And let's fix this space up. And so, man, we've hosted amazing events here. And of all things, someone from Salt and Light passing through ended up at one of those events and said, man, we should host a conference here. So that's our heart and mission.
One of the things that struck me, one, about knowing a little bit of your background and a little bit of the history of this, was your vision in that you're not afraid to have the Bible over here and politics over here. And so many pastors over here.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
Honestly, I think there's been, well, Satan's the author of fear. I always tell our church, if you're afraid, Satan rides on a horse named fear, so he's not far away. Fear is the first thing. So if you see fear, I really think a lot of, I was helped early on in my pastorate. I've been a pastor for 15 years, and I had a lawyer explain to me that no church has lost this great fear of their 501c3 status, and no church has ever gone through that. And if they, and the reason they never go that far is the very next day, the church could reconstitute as another name and be a 501c3 all over again. We could switch 501c3s between Sunday and Sunday and be legal. And when I realized that, I thought, man, what is all this fear about then? Well, the fear is drummed up. The fear is propagated by the wicked one and people that think that the separation of church and state has to do with the church. Separation of church and state has to do with the state, keeping the state's hands out of the religion, with the freedom to religion. And so once you understand that it's smoke and mirrors and a lot of fear, then you understand, hey, the church better step up. we've got two books of the Bible called First and Second Kings. That was political. And the Bible was very involved in it. And so, I've said it before, said it this morning when we were on stage, just the idea that the problem is the world. When God clearly says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, which means repent of the things we should not be doing. I'm doing them. These guys are doing them. And you're doing them. If we'll repent of those things, God says, I'll heal your land. So we don't have to win the political debate. We don't have to be persuasive when we're dealing with the lost or the unsaved or the non-Christian or transgender, the homosexual crowd, whatever the identity politics of it all is. We don't have to persuade them. We have to be right with God.
Yes.
And God fights for us. And so that's the beauty of the Bible. This is how a shepherd boy took down a giant. This is how nations won wars without even bearing their weapons. Those are real stories in Scripture. And the church has got to get back to that. We are on the winning side. We like to say it. We just don't like to live that way.
Yeah.
So hosting something like this, by the way, this is not, we're not endorsing a candidate. We're not breaking any of the rules. We are endorsing the issues. We're unashamedly Christian. We are unashamedly conservative, and we are trusting God to just do a work. We're praying for something supernatural to happen in our nation.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm sitting here. We have visitors come in, strangers, but they're actually members of your church. And yes. they say, oh, we're an Eagle Crossing church.
Yes.
So we get to talk to them, and you really have a welcoming congregation and a helping congregation. And I discovered something. I don't know if I should let the secret out.
Okay. Let's hear it.
It has to do with food.
Okay. Tell me.
Maybe in the future here.
Oh, yeah.
This is not something churches generally do.
Okay. So we have, well, a couple things. We have a huge building, as I mentioned. And so in the back corner, we have leased for free 15 years, no payment, coupled with an organization that does a food hub. And so they feed about 500 families a week out of the back of this building. They raised $1 million and upfit that area, have a teaching kitchen back there. The local community college uses the facility to teach culinary arts. All that goes on back there every week. And we're just partnering with them in space. And then our intention is to put in a restaurant, and we've got a coffee shop and a sandwich shop that's just opened up in the last couple of months, 5 days a week. And so a lot of the emergency management is next door to us. So we get a lot of the firefighters and police officers and EMS coming in here, and our church has been loving on them. I'm the chaplain for our police department here in Marion.
Oh, bless you. Yeah.
And so we've got a lot of connection with the city. And so we thought, man, we can give them coffee and good sandwiches all the time. So we, in the master plan, and all it takes is money, right?
All the time.
That's all it takes. So
we got to have faith first.
We've got faith. Yeah, that's it. But we got a lot of vision, but we'll see what happens. But yeah, the you probably heard the church members talking about a restaurant.
That's right.
Is that what you're talking about? Okay. Yeah. Believe it or not, they're very interested in getting out of a service and walking across the lobby to a good restaurant. So they're praying for that. But the idea of that is Jesus did a lot of ministry around the table. Much as he preached the gospel, he had dinner with Zacchaeus.
Food was involved.
And so, and then when we know the Last Supper was a moment where around a table, Jesus commissioned his men and said, hey, this is the way to serve. I'm going to wash your feet. You're going to be servant leaders. And so we believe that yelling from the pulpit is probably important and needed, but loving across the table, it's how you date. If you like a girl, you take her to dinner. It's how you do business, a business lunch. And the church needs to get back to the way Jesus did ministry across the table. So the restaurant's going to be the table. And we got some big plans, but we'll see. I'm glad the church is excited because that means they're going to give. So if they're watching this, we're only short of what they want to get.
And the giving will continue.
God's been so good this year. We're far out over our skis. This guy doesn't know what he's doing, but God's got a great, great plan. It's exciting.
Well, let me ask a question that's really probably going to take you by surprise.
Okay.
we talk about spiritual warfare, and it's real.
Absolutely.
We know we talk about it.
Absolutely.
We preach it.
Yes, sir.
If, and this just happened to me last year, first time, but, and I'll preface it by saying this. From 1975, when I was in Bible college, I came across a book that I think this topic never thought of. But I came across a book, and there's by a couple of guys I've never heard of, John Weldon and Zola. Now, later on, I would meet him and do it. Henry Zola, I had the opportunity to meet. He also established a biblical kind of Disney world where I was lived in Florida.
Okay.
And to be honest, I don't know if it's still there, but outside of Florida. The book was this. UFOs. What is it? And last year, the first time, early in the morning, as I was headed out, I look up in the sky, and this is like 6 o'clock or 6:30. It's just as the day is coming. I look up and I see what I think Ezekiel, something like what Ezekiel is, which, and he talks about lights, and they were so, I mean, way up there.
Yeah.
And so huge and broad that I could clearly see it. And it was like a row of lights. I didn't have time to count. I was so taken by what I was seeing. I'm driving.
Right.
So I'm thinking, I'm going to pull over real quick because I don't know how long this is going to be up. Pull up my phone, take a picture.
Yes. All right.
Well, by the time I did that, I looked at it and it's gone.
Yeah.
You're being viewed.
Yeah. Got people out there watching.
So this phenomenon, which just made commerce.
Yeah.
A few months ago.
Didn't surprise you.
No. Didn't surprise me at all. And now they call them UAPs. Mm-hmm. And we see military jets taking pictures of these things.
Mm.
So any thoughts on this? And I know this takes you by
I don't know what you saw, but prophetically, you knew your question would surprise me, and it did. So well done on the prophecy. No, I have no idea. I keep it simple. I'm a pastor in Marion, North Carolina, and I love the strange things walking around our city. I've not personally had an experience. I have a lot of people that I've heard have. And so, you know, God's the giver of life. He's the authority. I believe that he sent his Savior to the earth to die for us. But I know the love of God is there's life somewhere else.
Yes,
He would send his Savior to save them too. And so we just don't have that story. So I'm very surprised with your question, and I don't know how to answer it other than I'm just going to trust God with all that stuff and try to figure out how to be a better husband, because that's where my problem lies.
Well, you know, Mike Huckabee just spoke, and he said, I just want to hear three words. Excuse me, six words.
Six words.
Six words.
Well done.
Well done, my good and faithful servant.
That's it. That's it. Yeah.
Let me, before we hear that, could I just give you one thing?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We know that God has created at least, this is what the Bible says, what I'm going. We know he's created two realms. He's created a physical realm, and he's created a spiritual realm. Now, the spirit realm occasionally comes into
absolutely
this. As a matter of fact, Paul reminds us that we have possibly entertained angels unawares.
Absolutely.
So that is a heavy statement. And I understand that there's a lot more important things in the Word of God than that.
Right.
But just the idea. So here's a thought. These lights, angels give off light.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think that these are spirit beings who are coming out of our room. They can light up, but they also, given that there's evil spirits that would be, and I guarantee you, they're here today.
Oh, yeah.
They manifest themselves as well. And Satan is an angel of light, which he was. So I think that that's what these are. I think these are manifestations that people see of angelic beings. So I'll just kind of leave it there.
I'm totally comfortable with that. I do believe in spiritual warfare. I definitely believe the Bible. And if you don't, you can believe in the Bible. And I know that the giants, the Nephilim, the mm-hmm. Old Testament, were because the sons of God were having sexual interaction with the daughters of men. There's a lot there. But like I said, I know this day, our daily bread, usually that's not that day. You needed to know what those lights are. I haven't had that yet. What I can see and what is going on around us is worth addressing. And man, I guess with these, if these UFOs, or what was the other acronym?
UAPs,
aerial. Hey, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm looking for one aerial phenomenon, the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then I will be a UAP. I will be meeting him in the air. Yes. So shall I ever be with the Lord. So that works for me.
Yes, sir. Well, that light, which, by the way, the Bible already gives us a little pre information. Yes. It's going to be coming from the east.
Yes, in like manner as he left. Absolutely.
So
I've stood on the mountain.
Right line.
I stood on the mountain of transfiguration, or not mountain transfiguration, a mount of ascension, and I'm going back to Israel next year, taking a trip over there.
Absolutely.
And so we'll visit that spot. And I'm hoping. Wouldn't it be great if I could time front row seats? Wouldn't it be great just to be there on a tour when he comes? We'll see. That would be
super.
He's coming back, folks. I guarantee it.
Well, Pastor Rear, let me mention this to you. Okay. We have listeners to our podcast in over 23 countries around the world.
Wow.
So what kind of message? You have an opportunity now to spread a message to the world from this podcast.
Okay. Well, I'll say this. I apologize that I sound like I talk funny. It's a Southern United States thing. But I will tell you this. The joy that I have experienced with international is this, that the love of God and the body of Christ is it's vast, it's varied, and his sheep know his voice. And I always love meeting people that know the Savior and are in communication with him. And it's amazing how our stories line up, because we're truly family. When you spend time with the Father, the kids have the same experiences, the same memories, the same love. And so I love getting to know what could not be copied, and how in sync it is with what God is doing. And so that gives me, it's a good checkup for us to know that we are in tune with who he is. And so to my brothers and sisters around the planet and other nations that are listening to this podcast, keep Christ first in your life. We tell our church, we have four words at our church: connect, grow, serve, and share. Connect with Christ. Make sure he's your Lord and Savior. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, email me at bob@nebocrossing.com.
I'll post that.
Please do.
Video.
I would love to introduce you to Jesus. He is my Lord and Savior. He's changed my life. My second grade teacher put on my report card, prison, pulpit, ?
No way.
No kidding.
Really?
Yeah, second grade teacher. Wow. She knew my mom well, and she knew me clearly well. So thank God it ended up pulpit, right?
Amen.
So
prison, pulpit, what?
?
Okay,
one of the two.
Okay.
She doesn't know which, but that was the comments on my report card.
Wow.
So God has changed my life and saw fit to put me in the ministry. God's going to do great things with you. Connect, grow, get in God's word, study the Bible, serve, love your brothers and sisters, love the lost, love the community around you. A cup of cold water in Jesus' name is ministry. And so love people. Just work yourself to the bone loving people. You don't have to have a big building. You don't have to have a huge church to love people. And then finally, share. And share is when you realize, I look back on my life and God turned my pits into pulpits. He turned all my problems into my story. And so what I would like to do and share is, I just want to tell people, God, bring into my life somebody that's going through something I can share. I can share empathy, I can share experientially, and I can share vision that you're going to make it. God's not forgotten you. And boy, when we do that as Christians, we really do begin to change the world. And that's what I would encourage everyone around the nations to do.
Well, we recently interviewed Jesse Connors, and he's the founder of TrueLife.org. Mm. And in the interview, he mentioned this quote. And the quote was, "Don't bring the farmers to church on Sunday unless you give them seeds to sow on Monday."
Amen to that.
Yeah. And this event here is going to spread a lot of seeds in North Carolina.
Amen.
About Nebo Church.
Well,
and what you all are doing.
They got it messed up pastor, but other than it's a pretty good place.
They got amazing.
An amazing pastor.
Well, praise the Lord. Appreciate you, man. That's for sure.
Yeah. One last area that I'd like to see what you think.
Okay.
We asked Leo this question. Leo 2.0.
Yes, sir.
Which is a real team.
I'm a fan. Yeah. God's doing great things in his life. We were talking backstage, and boy, he's just God's his buddy Sean Hannity. I was on the Sean Hannity program years ago on his radio program, and I said, man, is my friend Sean Hannity a believer? And he assured me that he is. And I said, that's wonderful to know. I've been praying for that man for years. So love Leo. Go ahead. Sorry.
Thanks for sharing that information.
Yeah.
Some of our folks might be wondering what that is.
Well, I'll live with that. There's some other conversation that gives me great hope. If that's even shaky, it's going to be resolved soon. There's a lot of good conversations.
Okay. Well, in the future, how can we pray for you?
Oh, man, pray for this ministry. We've asked God, our church, this year, I said, we're going to just begin to pray and ask God to do something supernatural in McDowell County and let it begin with us, whatever you want. So a lot is going on in our homes. Families are finding generational healing. We have a ministry called Every Family Better, and we meet outside of, you know, when you come to church, so kind of the traditional church model in the West is this, that we come to church and we segregate everybody. We sit the nursery, the kids, the teens, the women ministry, the men's ministry, senior adults, and we separate everybody out. I understand why we did that, but it's really had a negative effect over time. And so we decided after COVID and all of that mess that it brought the world, we said we got to rebuild the families. And so we have a couple of times throughout the year, we have a season, a spring semester and a fall semester where we do Every Family Better, and just you come with your family, whoever that is, and you stay with them through the whole event. And dads actually get questions to ask their family, and moms get questions to ask their family, and create that family conversation around spiritual things, but also just fun things, play games, have a good time. So pray for our Every Family Better ministry, that we can build the homes back. Satan has bound the strong man, and now he's come in to steal and to kill. And Jesus said that's how the thief comes. And so the men of America, the homes, the parents, we've given our children to the government to educate. And it's time for us to take the reins back and say, hey, nice try. You did terrible. And it's our fault. It's not because you did a bad job. It's because we gave you the job God gave us.
Yeah.
And we're taking it back. Yeah. And so I pray for that. The families is where it's at.
Absolutely.
Well, now, go ahead, Jack.
The question that we asked Leo was, it's dark in this country.
Yes, it is.
I mean, there's like a veil that's behind.
Yeah.
Do you see, Pastor, do you see a glimmer of hope? Well, I look here and I see so many young people here at your church, and I feel guilty in a way because I'm like, what kind of a world am I leaving? What kind of a country am I leaving these folks? Do you see a glimmer of hope for us?
Yeah, let me give you an answer that I think is important. Number one, the darkness, because the enemy is real, the darkness has always been. America enjoyed its Judeo-Christian values, its founding, its politicians like George Washington that would kneel in the snow and pray in Valley Forge, on and on and on. We enjoyed that season in America. And we now live in a post-Christian. Barack Obama said this. He said, we're no longer a Christian nation. We're a post-Christian nation. And he got a lot of flack from that. And I totally disagree as a pastor on the premise of saying we're not a Christian nation. But then I started to look around. And I'm not sure he wasn't wrong. The Christians aren't acting like Christians. The pastors aren't acting like Christians. We're not loving people. We're shaking our finger. We're hating. Jesus never showed. His hardest words were for the right, self-righteous and righteous Sanhedrin, you know, and the Pharisees. Jesus had strong words for that. So the idea that we're in dark times probably needs to be modulated a little bit and say, as always, it is dark. I'm not taking anything away from it, but as always, they were throwing the Hebrew children into the Nile River. I mean, Jesus was literally born and they fled because Herod wanted to kill the babies. So it wasn't just the right to kill babies. It was the hunted. And so it's always been dark. So let me say that first, always been dark. God's always had hope. You said, do you see a glimmer of hope? Absolutely. That's the message of our Bible. We are not without hope. In fact, we don't even, when we lose a loved one, we don't sorrow like the world sorrows because of that hope. We have joy. And so we have Jesus Christ. It is finished. It's not going to be finished. It's not might be finished at some point. It is finished. As it was finished on that day, the veil was rent in twain. I have access to the heavenly without a priest. As a Gentile, I'm engrafted in hope. We have a ton of hope. And so, yes, I know why you're asking, because there's a rumbling. And that's what your question is. The rumbling is a blessing. Let's stay on our knees.
Amen.
I believe that every great revival has been when some Christians get on their knees. So the hope of Christ always has been 40 years of wandering when you're not ready to cross over. That's why we named it Nebo Crossing.
Yeah. Wow.
Moses died on Mount Nebo.
Okay.
And we live in a town called Nebo. But when I saw that, I said, I got an idea. We used to be Eastside Baptist Church. I said, let's not be a church that doesn't experience the promised land.
Okay.
We have it. So Nebo Crossing, let's be a church that lives what God, we say in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Too many Christians are waiting to get to heaven. And heaven's supposed to be coming down. So I see a ton of hope. It's going to be great.
Amen. Amen. Great answer. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys.
We appreciate you taking time with us during this busy schedule.
I mean, it's crazy. I've been running a little bit. I'm glad they got
ready to run now.
These new dress shoes with the tennis shoe bottoms. That's a win, man.
Yeah. Appreciate well, listen, thank you so much. Thank we
you.
Really love
God
you.
God bless you guys. Yes, sir. I'll be praying for your ministry and you pray for mine. God bless you. Thank you.
Well, thank you, listeners. And we can't wait till you see this, this podcast, and we'll send the link to the pastor and all of our friends around the world will get to see this as well.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Did you know that the ancient prophet Job once asked the question, if a man dies, shall he live again? The one book that gives us the correct answer to this age-old and perplexing question is the Bible. Within its pages, we find out that we die because we have all sinned against the God of the Bible by breaking His Ten Commandments. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We all have to admit at some time, some place, we have all broken God's law, and so now you know why we die. So what about Job's question? Is there indeed life after death? The Bible again answers this question that we all wonder about. The answer is unequivocally yes. However, the Bible also solemnly warns in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So to summarize, we know that we all are sinners, we all die, there is life after death, and there is a judgment that awaits all of us. Fortunately, God made a way for us to prepare for this judgment. It's clear from Scripture that we can't do anything to save ourselves. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Acts 8:20 says, but Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. No amount of money or good works of any kind are going to help us. So what can we do? Again, the Scripture is clear as to what we must do. First, we must repent. Acts 3:19 says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Simply put, this means to be willing to change your mind about who Jesus is. Jesus was not just a great teacher, a good person, or a prophet. The Scripture tells us He was God in the flesh. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word referred to here is Jesus Himself. Second, after we repent, then we are to receive. John 1:12 says, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. Acts 16:31, so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. And so we close this podcast with this invitation. Christ says in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock.
If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be wool." If you would like further information on becoming a Christian, or perhaps you have a question about the Bible or anything that's on your mind, please contact us at 3mft@mail.com. Thanks again for listening, and join us next time for another podcast in the realm of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.